We'll begin reading with verse number 1 of Mark chapter number 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up and became, and because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched and became, and because it was had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how this then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Now I'd like to drop down to verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? There is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you, and unto that and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should keep sleep, and rise night and day, the seed should bring, should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for thy word. I ask you, Lord, to take thy servant tonight and use us for thy glory. Oh God, illuminate my mind that I can be able to think clearly, be able to rightly divide thy word of truth. God, just speak to our hearts. Thank you for what we've already heard, for the preaching of the Word of God. It was such a blessing. The songs that have been sung. Now the Word of God that's been read again. Help us now, we pray. Work in our heart. Father, illuminate my mind and use me, I pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. From these verses tonight, I'd like to bring this thought to you, and that is the mystery of the planted seed. You know, in the first of this chapter, Jesus began to teach by the seaside, and great multitudes came out to hear him. And Jesus taught them many things by parables. And then in these verses, he taught them the parable of the seed sower. And the parable of the sower is the first of the parables that Jesus taught. And as I began to work on this message, I was reminded as I got to this part, the part that I skipped, and that is dealing with the various soils that the seed fell on. And I thought about, I heard Brother Eugene Clark preach a message on this thought here back when I was in my early ministry. And I have never gotten away from it. It was a tremendous message, and I appreciate it, and it's stayed with me all of these years. So I'm not going to be dealing with that. But we want to just sit and talk about the seed tonight, the mystery of the planted seed. I'm sure that each of us are very familiar with the soil and the seed. And you know, I have been, because I'm a country boy. I was born in Hickman County and grew up basically in Fulton County down in the cotton country. And of course, I'm an antique. When I was in the cotton country, in fact, it was a bottom all the way from Hickman, Kentucky to Dyersburg, Tennessee, and it wasn't anything but cotton in those years. And when you back then, you talk about a cotton figure, you wouldn't talk about a great big green or red machine. He's talking about the hands of the fingers that you could use. But anyway, we're very familiar with the soil and the seed. And that's what we want to think about tonight. And that's a great thought we see. And so, you see, we find that with sowing and reaping, we have the Bible gives us some great principles. You know, Paul said in Galatians 6 and 7, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Also, he said as he wrote to the church in Corinth, in the 2 Corinthians, he spoke about sowing seed. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So we realize that the earth has power to make the seed spring up. And we can't explain that. It's invisible, but a mighty power. We rejoice in that. Like I said, we're country folks, and we love to plant seeds, and we love to see them come up, and we love to cultivate them. We love to harvest them. And so all of this is a great blessing. But, you know, as we think about this tonight, we want to think about the spiritual aspect that we see about the seed. We want to look at the spiritual lesson. You know, the sower is to sow the seed. And our text tells us here in verse number 14, the sower soweth the word. And also, as Luke wrote of the parable in the 8th chapter and 11th verse, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. So I'm grateful as we think about this tonight. You see, and we find in this lesson, Jesus is talking about the way people hear the Word of God. You see, in this parable, there's about 13 times that we see the word hear, or hearing, or heard. And so it's very important that people hear. We need to, you know, it's a wonderful blessing to preach. We need to preach God's Word. But we need to take heed to what the Word of God said. We need to hear what God is saying. And we just heard about that tonight. That's the problem that we have tonight. People are not hearing what the preacher is saying. But anyway, we find that Jesus was concerned about our hearing. And this was His first parable. And He dealt with this matter of hearing. You know, it's such a blessing. Like I said, I love to try to preach. I've been trying to preach now all these years. We love it. And it's a joy to preach the Word of God. But, you know, we like for folks to accept what the Word of God has to say. And by the way, when people, they say, well, I don't believe what that preacher preached. Well, I want you to know, if it's Bible, it's the Word of God. It's not what the preacher says, but it's what God's Word has to say to us tonight. So, you see, the most disheartening problem of the ministry is the way that people hear. And this is very, very important. You know, God, He spoke to Ezekiel in chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. So the problem was not the preaching that we have when Jesus gave this lesson. It wasn't his preaching. It was the way that people accepted, the way that the people heard it and did not hear it. So the mystery of the planted seed we see here in the verse number 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So this is the first step of a harvest. Planting seed is a must. If we expect to have a harvest, we must plant the seed. As Paul said, if we sow sparingly, we can expect to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we can expect to reap bountifully. Like I said before, I was raised in the cotton country before pre-emergent and the all this came along. And when we planted the cotton, it came up a solid stream, and we had to chop it with our hands. The first time we blocked it out. The second time we cut it down to about 3 stalks to a place. And then, as you see, keeping the weeds out of it. So it's very important as we think about this. So in order to have a good cotton crop, you have to get the seed in the ground. If you expected to have a great harvest, you must get the seed. And so this, you see, is the first step. So Jesus has a plan. You know, I'm so thankful for God's plan. Any way you talk about it, Brother Asbury, talking about missions, Thank God for missions. You know, and thank God for churches that believe in missions. I thank God for this church because I went to Trenton, Tennessee in 1984 and I went there with nothing. I resigned to a good church in Jackson, Tennessee. I'd been there 10 years, organized that work, and that church sent me over to do another work. So God has a plan. I mean, He uses His church. And I'm thankful for that. And so, you see, it's a blessing. And so, we find that God has a plan for preaching the Word and getting the seed out of the barn. That is through the New Testament church. Jesus built His church during His personal ministry. And I, you know, as I said, it's a blessing to be among people that believe the truth. We all believe that Jesus built His church during His personal ministry. And He empowered it on Pentecost. You know, tonight we don't need another Pentecost. We need to tap in on the resources that we already have. God gave the church the power that she needs. And she can move on. And she can get the job done if we just stay with the Word. And so He has He built His church. And before He left here, He commissioned the church. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate. Jesus told the church. He said, you know, in Matthew records it in Matthew 28. And He said, go ye and teach all nations. I like that. And He said, then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Also in the book of Mark, we have the same commission. And He said, go ye out there and you see and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm talking about the responsibility of the church. Jesus organized His church and the church can get the job done. Anything that's to be done, the church can do it. Our son went to Spain back in 1975. And he was told he couldn't get in the country of Spain without going through a mission board. But he did. He got on the field and stayed there 27 years. And tonight, there's a church in existence there in Barcelona, Spain. They have about 35 or 40 people. But anyway, it's because that God has a plan and He uses the New Testament church to carry the gospel. What a blessing and what a joy. Okay, so Jesus, you see, has a plan for us to use. So God, you know, His plan is by the preaching of the Word. I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He has a plan. And so you see, God, help us today to have this desire, you see, and be busy sowing the seed. All right, we find the mystery of faith in waiting. Look at verse number 27. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So you see, when we do our part, prepare the soil and sow the seed or plant the seed, then we can go and rest because, you see, God has a plan. And so our part is to sow the seed. Our part is to get in the ground and then we can rest and knowing and believing God's going to take care of it. That'll sprout and come up and oh, what a harvest. What a blessing. Also, you see, this is a wonderful truth. All right, so therefore, we should not fret and worry about the results. We need to do our part and leave the results up to God. You know, in my ministry, I've had to learn a whole lot. You know, I'm not very smart yet, but I learned some things. And in my early ministry, I used to try to preach the Word and bless it too, but I learned all that God wants me to do is to preach it and let Him take care of the results. And I'm thankful that the preaching of the Word of God will get results. I mean, he didn't tell me how many is going to be saved. It's not my business. It's my business to preach the Word. And God will bless His Word. I tell you, the older I get, the more I love this book. I was brought up to love and respect the Word of God. My dad, you know, he loved the Word and he stayed with the book. And I rejoice in the Word of God. All right, so then, you see, the seed, you see, it's left where it should be and as it should be. So if we sow good seed, we can be confident that it will come up and grow under normal conditions and bring forth fruit. And that's a blessing. All right, so as I've already stated, our responsibility is to sow the seed. You see, we're to sow the Word of God. So it's God's Word, you see, and it's His work. To make it come up. And it's His work to make it grow. Then we see in verse number 27 also, and there we see the mystery of life. This thrills my heart. He said, now, and they should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So the seed will spring up. The sower believes the seed will spring up and grow. Not because he understands the hidden mystery, but because he believes that it's God's Word. We just do what we can do, and the rest of it is up to Him. And then that brings us to the great thought, and that's the mystery of the life of God. Thank God for life of God. All life is a mystery, but how much more is the mystery of the human soul? We all know what the Bible says in Genesis 2 and 7, and that is that God, He made man. You see, and there he lay, a lifeless form. And the Bible said that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and man became a living soul. Somewhere, my friend, man is going to spend eternity, either in heaven with the Lord Jesus or in hell, to burn forever and forever. So it's a great life. All right. And so, you see, a man will live somewhere. So that gives us a great incentive to do the work that God's called us to do. So man sinned against God, and we all are familiar with this. And he plunged humanity into sin. And God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden with their flaming sword. But anyway, man, you see, from then on, men have been born into sin. Bible says, you know, David said that I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. We come over New Testament, and Paul says in Romans 3:23, he says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners by nature. We are inherited sinners. The world thinks that people are sinners because they do bad. They've got the thing reversed. We do bad because we're sinners. My friend, it's a nature. We're born with that nature. My friends, you know, I'm a preacher's boy. I know when you mention the Fortners, you think about a bunch of preachers. My dad was a preacher. He had three boys. We're all three preachers. I had two boys, and they're preachers. I have lost my cord here. Anyway, my grandson-in-law is a preacher. And but anyway, what I'm saying is, you see, that it's a tremendous blessing as we think about. You see, but even though my dad was a preacher, I was born as a sinner just like anyone else. And I had the same nature that everyone else has. And we need to be changed. I thank God that He has a plan, and that is through the new birth. My friend, every person that's living must be born again. My brother was speaking a while ago about this very fact, and how many church members want us to sauce up the thing and not be offensive and preach a message to tickle their ears where they'll come back. My friends, they need to know that they're sinners. They need to know that they're on the road to hell. And they need to know that Jesus died for them. And He is able to seek and to save that which is lost. So the life of God in the heart of man is brought about through the wonderful arrangement of the triune God. Thank God. We're talking about His plan. God has a plan. The Bible said, you see, that God the Father bought the plan of salvation. God the Son bought the plan of salvation. And God the Holy Spirit wrought it in our hearts. Oh, what a tremendous blessing. What a thrill. What a joy. All right, so the life of God is brought into man's heart through the sowing of the Word of God. You see, I'm thankful for the power of the Word of God. You know, Jeremiah said that the Word of God is like a fire. The Word of God is like a hammer that breaks a rock. Hey, my friend, the Word of God is such a powerhouse. You know, I like what Paul said about the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That word power, I'm not a Greek scholar, but that word power came from the Greek word dynamos. That's where we get our dynamite from. Now, friend, I want you to know, dynamite is explosive. Dynamite will get results. But my dad pastored a church in Arizona, and we had bought some property to build a building, and it was pine timbers, and so he cut all the pine trees down with the saw and got them all out of the way, and then he went and got some dynamite, and I was always wanting to be where Daddy was, and so he was going to get rid of those stumps. And he'd take a piece of dynamite and he'd stick it under, dig under the stump and put it under and cover it up, and he'd light the fuse, and he said, now son, let's run. And a few seconds, that thing would say, boom! And the stump would go straight up. what I'm saying, my friends. Listen, that thrills my heart because the Word of God is powerful. And all God wants us to do is to preach it. Preach the Word of God. That's what Paul was saying. He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. So we need to preach the Word of God and give it out. Thank God for the gospel. You know, Paul gave us what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. He said how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and how that He was buried, and how He rose again according to the Scriptures. And somebody, you know, they in these modern translations, they've changed a lot of words, and some of them have left out that word, how. But I want you to know that word how is very important. Think about that. How, in other words, how that Christ died, and how that Christ was buried, and how that Christ arose. He, my friend, Jesus Christ lived like a man, and my friend, and He died like a man, and He was buried like a man. But thank God He arose like the Savior. He arose because of His mighty power. I'm talking about tonight. We have a power, and we don't have to be ashamed to anyone. We don't have to take backseat to anyone. My friend, we need to march forward and let the world know that God loves them and Jesus died for them. And I tell you, it thrills my soul. Oh, what a blessing. All right, so the Word of God is very powerful. The Word of God has power to convict. We go back in the book of Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost. That I don't guess there's any chapter in the Bible it's more misunderstood than that chapter is. My friends, I want you to know, and you know, I don't have to tell you. But I'll tell you, there was no church starting on Pentecost. I ask our folks this question. How can you add to something that doesn't exist? My Bible tells me that there were 120 added to the church. But anyway, you know that. I'm just here to remind you. Like I told the folks at Armstead the other day when I was up there, I didn't come over there to impress them. I didn't come there, to tell them anything new. Because I told them, if I preach anything new, you better send me back to Tennessee. I'm just here to stir up your pure minds. And I tell you tonight, we need to be stirred. We need to be awakened. We have a great responsibility, but we have a great book. I'm talking about the seed, which is the Word of God. It has power. So we know that Peter preached that great message there on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 down through about third verse 36. But in verse 37, the Bible says, they were pricked in their hearts. That's what our brother's talking about tonight. My friend, the Word of God will prick your heart. I mean, it brings sorrow. And my friend, the Word of God is not to soothe our conscience. The Word of God is to bless our heart. It's first of all to condemn our soul. And then when we trust Jesus Christ, it's the same message will feed our soul. It's kind of like, you know, Grandpa and Grandma with the old tomcat. And you know, back during the days we had the fireplaces. And the old tomcat laying there. Pa was rocking his old chair and rubbing the cat's fur. As long as he was rubbing one way, the old cat was purring. But the old cat got up and sawing around and came back, laid in another direction. Paul was striking the cat again. And the old cat was a hollering. And Ma said, Paul! Said, quit rubbing that cat's fur the wrong way. And Paul said, if the cat don't like it, let him turn it around. That's where we are tonight. My friend, it's the Word of God. And the problem is, the hearers. We're talking about the hearers. It's the way people hear. My friend, the Bible says that they're dead. They can't hear. My friend, that's where we are. We're talking about depravity. We are totally depraved from the nature of God. We're bought off from God. There's no way to get back to God except through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus died on the cross and gave His life that we through Him might have eternal life. Now I tell you, I'm excited about serving God. You know, I used to wonder why, first of all, I wonder why God called me to preach anyway. My dad is a preacher. Why he need me to preach? Well, I see now why. My dad's been dead since 1975. So God wanted me to preach. And then, you know, I think about preaching in the last days. Yes. We believe that we're in the last of the last days. I agree with you, brother. And I tell you, we understand where we are. My friend, listen, it's getting rough. And I tell you, the sad thing is it's going to get worse. And I tell you one thing, we as God's people, we had better pray when we come down to this next election.
Amen. Amen. I tell our folks, I try to be careful about my getting into politics, but I tell you, I tell our folks, before you vote, you better pray. You better ask God what you need to do. Because you'll stand before God and give an account to God. But anyway, I just throw that in. That wasn't in the message. But you know, I'm always chasing rabbits. One of the brethren from over Armstead me a while ago, if I brought my caboose with me. Last week, during that revival, I was always talking about I've got to find a place to put the caboose on. And he wanted to know if I brought the caboose with me. Well, I think I lost it between here and home. But anyway, we're trying not to keep you past midnight because I'm not like Paul. I can't pray and he'll bring you back to life again. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you see, there's much to be said. And I tell you, and so we find that they said, men and brother, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brother, what shall we do? And Peter and those gave them the answer. They said, repent. And was get saved. Trust Jesus and be baptized. Now some people take that and say you got to be baptized to be saved. That's not what he's saying. You see, and there's a conjunction by bringing two thoughts together. Repent, trust Jesus, get saved, and then be baptized. Follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. I believe that's God's plan. He intends for us to follow Him in scriptural baptism. All right. Now then, we're talking about the power of the Word. The Word of God has power to regenerate. I like what Peter said. 1 Peter 1 and 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God for that. You know, I was born the first time with a corruptible seed. Best, all that my mom and daddy had. They gave me the best they had. But I tell you what's going to happen to me. The same thing will happen to me as it happened to them if Jesus doesn't come back. My kids are going to bury me one of these days. But anyway, the thing about it is, you see, and you know, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Now, the undertaker may get me first, but it don't make a difference. I'm still going to go to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, I get excited about what the Lord has done. We're talking about the power of the Word of God. Yes. And so, you see, I was born the first time of corruptible seed. And that's why I've had to bury my mom and dad, my grandparents, and all the way back to Adam. That's why folks have to be buried, because they have a corruptible seed. But thank God, because of the Word of God, I've been born again of an incorruptible seed. And by the Word of God, and it abides forever. Hallelujah. I tell you, that thrills my soul. We're talking about the power of the Word of God. It has power to convict of sin. It has power to regenerate. And I'm thankful to God, as James said in James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. I mean, it's God's work, it's not mine. By His own will, He begat us because I was ungodly. I was dead in trespass and in sin. And a dead person can't make any decisions. They're helpless. Amen. Hopeless. And so that lost person, I was before I saved, I wasn't hardly 10 years old when I got saved. But God only knows how many times I'd heard my dad preach. My dad was a missionary Baptist. He pastored a church. And every time he had church he pastored, he had a mission point. The day I got saved in 1945, that he and I walked that afternoon up the mountain trail. Had to. He had a car, but you couldn't get up there. If you didn't have a horse and a wagon, you couldn't get there. So we walked. But anyway, what I'm talking about, he had a message. And I'm telling you, this was back in the 40s. And I want you to know, that was a mean place. And we get up there on that mountaintop, and I don't know where they all came from, but they just filled that schoolhouse up. But anyway, I crossed the back. As we get started, those men would come in, line up across the back, and some of them had their guns. I mean, but you know, Daddy get up there and preach. Look what we're talking about, the power of the Word of God. What a blessing. Yes. All right. So we realize that God's Word is powerful. And listen, I tell you, I'm excited because I've been preaching 49 years, and it's exciting to preach the Word of God. I know a lot of folks don't listen. You know, we have what we call a new church. I started working there in 84. I've been there 23 years. Church has been there 17 years. Started off with 6 people. Went there with nothing. I tell our folks, I guess they get tired of hearing it, but I'm trying to bury it on God. I went there with nothing. The church in Jackson had been good to us. They gave us a good salary, and they gave us a nice home to live in. I had never had a home, and we lived in Parker's home for 20 years. But anyway, we went there to Trinity with nothing. I mean, no money. I had given the money back into missions. And during that 10 years, that church gave about 50% of their income to missions, and I didn't have anything. But anyway, went there with nothing. Went there with no salary. But you see, God bless, and my wife and I have had more since we've been there than we've ever had in our lives. Glory to God. I'm here tonight to brag on the Lord. He's able. All you got to do is to follow Him. When you follow Him, He'll do what He needs and what needs to be done, and He'll take care of me. So we rejoice, and we must hurry along because we got to try to find that caboose. Okay, now then. So you see, we're talking about the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is the seed out of which the divine nature springs in the human heart. We're talking about the power of the Word. The Word of God has power to produce faith. What did Paul say in Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank God tonight for the Word, for the seed. Oh yes, it is powerful. We rejoice in this. Yes. So one cannot get faith by the act or the will of the mind. You don't get faith, you see, by crying. You don't get faith by trying. You don't get saved by praying. We're saved when we trust Jesus as our personal Savior. Faith is a product of a certain cause. This certain cause is the preached Word of God, planted in the heart and quickened by the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to try to come down to a close. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, these are not new scriptures to you. You understand them. I do also. But they thrill my soul. What I'm doing tonight is just trying to encourage and strengthen our hearts as we think about the power of the Word of God, the power of the seed, the mystery of the sown seed. Yes, planted seed. Now then here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Thank God for the Word, and thank God for Him, the Holy Spirit, that makes the Word of God fruitful and effective in our hearts. We realize that it's God's work. My responsibility is to sow the seed, preach the Word, and it's God's work to bring a conviction to our heart. Oh, listen. And now, you see, over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, but ye are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Thank God. The Bible says that God saw His Son slain before the foundation of the world. Ah, listen, what a blessing. And then He said, chose you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. My friends, we are to preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit must and will do His work. My friend, listen, you know, saving faith rests upon the Word of God. That's why Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I thank God tonight for the power of the Word of God. We're talking about tonight the mystery of the planted seed. Oh, how we rejoice tonight because God has a plan. And all I'm just trying to stir up our pure minds that we would be busy of proclaiming the Word. Be busy sowing the seed because God is able to bless His Word and God will bless His Word. It's not my place to convict people. It's my place to teach and to preach the Word of God and lead the results into the hands of God. God's able. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Asbury. Amen.